In this week's episode, what is spec regret and how do you avoid it?
Brought to you by Nineworks.co.uk, the fastest growing online Porsche community, supported by the Nineworks Marketplace. Nineworks Radio is your dedicated Porsche and car podcast, hosted by Lee Sibley, Andy Brooks, and Max Newman. Nineworks Radio is carefully produced with special input from experts around the industry and powered by our valued members of the Nineworks Driven Not Hidden Collective.
Go.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Nineworks Radio. It's the three amigos, Andy Brooks.
Good day.
Max, good afternoon. All right.
Very good. Max, thanks for travelling down to the South Coast, mate.
Up and at it, on the road.
Yeah.
Commitment.
Yeah,
loved 100%.
It. Yeah. Yeah, I heard you did 90% of the journey with the roof up of your Boxster.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I did about 90 seconds with the roof down.
Yeah,
just going through the industrial estate in Ferndown.
Jeffrey caught you with the roof.
He caught me with the roof down. I mean, he was always going to catch me because he drives so fast. But he literally caught me with my pants up and didn't approve. So I'd spotted him in my rear view. And then I saw the phone ring. I thought, here we go.
Here comes chastity.
Here's trouble.
Rebuking coming.
Oi, what you got your roof up for?
That kind of thing. Jeffrey. Telling me what's what.
So, but you know, at 6:30 in the morning, going out through down the A34, I didn't think that was roof. I mean, when your roof works properly, when you haven't got a spider, when you've got a sensible Boxster and you can actually put the roof up and down without getting out of the car, I thought, I've got options. I'll keep it up for now. Maybe I'll put it down.
It's just not hardcore enough.
I'll do what I want. Yeah. Right, we better get back on topic, I reckon. So, thank you very much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you're going to enjoy another awesome episode of Nineworks Radio. We are in the immediate aftermath of Mid-Engine and Mates. Hence the reason Max Newman was up at the crack of dawn to come down to the coast.
Yes.
We were at Porsche Centre Bournemouth. I think we said before, one of five classic partners in the UK.
You're correct,
I think that might be. Yeah. I think that might be right. So they're always very, very good to give us their showroom. And we had a delectable selection of 914s in the showroom, a Viper Green 987 manual Cayman R.
Ooh. Really nice. Ooh.
The only one.
One of one.
Yep. In UK one or of ever, one. Ever?
Let's go ever. Sounds better.
Wow.
Doesn't it? Sounds better.
Ever.
Yep, got chatting to Pete, the owner. So the story goes, I think it's got 20,000 miles on the clock. 23 grand. And the owner, original owner, was offered a Cayman R. And allegedly the answer was, I'll have it as long as I can have it the same colour as my 997 RS of the time. Porsche obliged. And there it was. And now it's with a lovely chap called Peter. So very kindly drove down from Kent to be here. So somebody else that's put in the shift today.
Yeah, good plan.
Matt Pickering, obviously, from the Collective, driven his awesome 914 down from a similar way. Yeah. Then what else did we have? We had a 987 Spider next to the R.
Yeah.
So some 987 Duncan's, DFI goodness. Yeah, Duncan Johnson from the Collective. Then we had Peter Wormsley with his Black Edition.
Yeah.
987
Black Edition.
Yeah, which was cool to see. And then by the same token, so we're staying with M97 engines, we had the lovely Toby Dyer with his RS60 Spider.
Which has now got a red hood back on, as it should be, and it looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really made that car worth doing that one.
Yeah. Definitely.
So that's a really lovely car.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, really nice that. So, it was fantastic. We then had plenty more in the car park as well.
Yeah, I reckon we probably had another 60-70 cars out there, I guess.
Epic.
Yeah.
Epic.
Lots of mid-engine stuff.
Which was handy. Given the name.
A smattering of mates. We had a GT4 RS was out there.
Yeah.
In what grey was that?
Is
that the launch grey?
Yes. Yeah. Which I can't remember what it's called.
Aggressive.
Aggressive grey.
Oh, I love it. Let's go with that. It's always better when you make up colour.
Aggressive grey.
Aggressive. It was in aggressive grey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not Arctic grey, is it? That's a lighter one.
I don't know.
But it is it was the launch grey for that car.
Aggressive with blue wheels, did it have? Did it have the blue wheels?
It didn't have the blue wheels. No, it had a
goldy bronze,
like a vice
wheels.
Gold neodyme kind of finish on the wheels.
Yeah.
Cool car.
We had everything there, absolutely everything. So it was really nice to do something different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think we've said before, Nine Works represents everybody. Every far-flung corner of this weird little industry and scene that we're kind of happy to be a part of and privileged to be a part of. And I think that kind of epitomised that today.
Yeah,
it was really, really nice to shine a light on a platform, really, in all its different iterations that perhaps might usually be marginalised, perhaps.
Yeah. I was a little sad that we couldn't have the 1511 guys there.
Yeah.
We were hoping that 1511 were going to bring their new 914 that's got a Cayman underpinnings.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they didn't manage to get it finished. I think it was their trimmer that let them down. Had to go and trim a car out in Morocco for some prints. I guess it pays better than some Yorkshire guys doing a 914.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a bit sorry not to see Ben and his dad down for that. But
We'd love to do something there soon, which I know we've spoken about away from the race. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Away from spiders, we know there's communal love shared here for the spider.
So yeah, still haven't driven one.
Away from it. Well, Darren at RPM Technic has kindly said we can go and drive his car.
Yeah.
And we've pledged to do that this series. So we'll do that. And then the plan is to maybe drive to Craig from CSC, Craig Spider Club, who can enlighten us furthermore into the fantastic community he's created with other spider enthusiasts. So we will do that later in the year, later this series, in fact. But away from spiders, a quick car of the day.
My car of the day, I think, was 981 Cayman GTS in what I think, and I didn't verify it, but I'm pretty confident, Mexico Blue, which must have been a paint to sample.
Oh, that was on the end of that row.
It was next to the RS, had the Techno wheel, which I really like, in one of the sort of two-tone finishes, for want of a better phrase, black and polished. But, yeah, really, really good-looking car. It's a PDK because it's a GTS, really nice spec inside.
Yeah.
Bit unusual, very cool.
Very, very, very nice. Cool. Very cool.
Yours, Lee?
I'm going to go for the Speed Yellow 986S.
Oh.
Parked outside. That thing was just beautiful.
Those guys came from Wales.
Did they really?
Yes, they did.
That is absolutely fantastic.
Yes, they did. Apologies for not remembering your name, but I will, when we review the list of new collective members, I'll point them out.
Fantastic. Yeah, that was, but honestly, that is awesome.
Port Talbot.
Port Talbot?
Yes, indeed. I was going to say racist, but...
No, that's the accent, is it not? Port Talbot?
That was a nice looking car, wasn't it?
It
looked like a really straight, just really nice example of
really
an
low miles from what I can remember.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was that recently purchased?
Yes, not
was that
not
from
longer.
Sean at Flat Six Classics?
Could have been.
Because I was having an ogle before I bought the 40th, and I was thinking,
close to the market, haven't you, on
spend
these?
Too much money on a Boxster. and I mean too much money as in what I have, rather than kind of what they're worth. I don't want to be degrading to any business. Don't mean it that way at all. I thought I'll go and spend some money on a Boxster instead. And I'd noticed there was definitely a premium for Guards Red and Speed Yellow Boxsters, and I think rightly so, because they just look beautiful.
Cool.
Just lift over the silver and grey. So I said, if that's the car, it's very nice. Mm. What about you anyway?
Well, I've had a hankering for a 914 for a while, so I've got to stay air-cooled, haven't I? As I do.
Yeah.
And it would be that 9146. I can't remember. I seem to have a blank on names today. So many names have gone past it. Maybe a David.
Okay.
It was a... I think it's Bahama Yellow.
Okay.
Was it?
Don't know. Maybe. It up. Dandelion Yellow.
A sort of yellowy, orangey colour.
Okay.
And it just looked beautiful. And it was fantastic having those amazing colours of those 914s.
Yeah, they look great, didn't they?
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of reminds us, really, a bit like fashion, things come and go.
Yeah.
And then come back in again.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 70s was vibrant. The 70s automotive colour palette.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you think early 2000s, white, black, well, no, just silvers, really, early 2000s.
Silvers,
2010
blacks.
Was very white, wasn't it? And then now we've had this explosion of colour, as we discussed on the PT SRS episode.
Yeah.
And it's just like fantastic to see. But like the 914s were a stark reminder of that. Really.
Yeah, yeah, they looked awesome, so good lined up.
Great colours.
Yeah. Wasn't there an element, and I'm not sure what foundation I've got to make this comment on, the colours of the early 70s for Porsches. I'm sure I've seen those referred to as safety colours.
Yeah.
So there was an element of, developments or awareness of car safety and that sort of thing around that time.
Yeah.
And the idea that having a brightly coloured car was a good
safe thing.
That was a good safety thing. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, Porsche went down that route of offering some of those funky colours.
I love how they came up with that before the concept of ABS. Amazing. But, just paint it bright, they'll get out of the way.
Yeah. But they did look great.
Yeah.
And there
was a lot of colour in the car park today, and it was amazing cars all round. It was just, so many good cars.
Yeah.
Quite a few spiders.
Yeah. Good looking spiders.
Anthony's spider with the white wheels.
Yeah, nice.
So
Miami Vice. He needed to be wearing, Don Johnson's outfit. He should have, and his son should have arrived.
Well, his son didn't need it on. Don Johnson outfit because he was wearing his Nineworks t-shirt.
Yes.
So he was representing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Which I was very pleased about, young man.
Yeah, there was a few Nineworks t-shirts
there
around.
There weren't there?
Yeah.
But that car does look, it's got some geo on it, hasn't it? It looks aggressive.
Yeah, Scott at Barnsport set that up. Yeah. It's got a lot of good stuff on there. I think he's changed the seats. He's done something to the seats. I think it's had quite a few little bits and bobs.
It's definitely got buckets, but I thought they were the bucket that should be in there. But the driver's seat did look like it was set up.
Yeah. What's he got? Maybe he's colour-coded some bits of the seats.
It's got a steering, yes. The where the seat belts would come through, or the harnesses would come through, they're white.
It's got a different
wheel. He's got a heavily dished steering wheel on it.
Yeah.
It looks pretty trick.
Yeah. Yeah. He can't help himself. He's also got a G-Series 3.2 Carrera. He cannot stop modding. It's got all sorts of stuff on it. It's fantastic. Anthony is a good egg. Yeah. I love him.
100%.
Something I liked about that Speed Yellow box that you like was the wheel spec on it, which is a lesser seen wheel. Looks a bit like a turbo twist, but it isn't.
Mm.
I don't know what it's called, but when I was looking at that car after you pointed it out, I just thought that's a nice wheel design. It just fits really nicely with that car. It's a really nice bit of kit, that.
Yeah, like the end of the spokes go quite flat.
Yeah.
Don't they?
That's right.
It's really nice. No, cool. Thank you very much to, we've had people travelling from Kent, Surrey.
Wales,
like that. It's just obviously the Midlands and whatnot as well with the crew. So, look, fantastic. Thanks to everybody that came along to that. Thanks very much, as always, to Porsche Bournemouth for hosting us. It's lovely when a shiny Porsche dealership opens its cars and lets a load of classics venture inside for the day and take up showroom space. A big kudos there to the guys. So thank you. I suppose we are going to get on some spec regret talk shortly, but we probably can't have a mid-engine themed intro without mentioning the Spider RS.
Yes.
Which recently launched.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Brilliant.
Yeah?
Yeah, really cool.
You're
love
it.
Yeah, it's just great, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how is that not just going to be brilliant fun? Engine note, induction note, engine, the whole exhaust. You're closer to everything when there's no roof, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's just going to be a cacophony of, an overload for the sensors. And it's obviously going to drive brilliantly and all that sort of thing. It's just a riot, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Is it going to be, is there, like an RS is a homologation of a race car.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a Spider race car? Like, what, to, dare I say, legitimise the concept of a Spider RS?
So you think there might be a series of, Spider races in front of Grand Prix or something like that?
No, so my point is...
That there won't be.
There won't be.
Yeah.
So therefore, are we going down this Audi style thing of you can have any car with an S, an RS, an S, and a et cetera, et cetera. And does that sully the iconic Halo RS badge?
Well.
And it's a question I'm asking, not an opinion I'm giving. It's something to think about.
Give an opinion on it, not you.
This is it. That's my first thought on that.
I reckon that it will appear as a racing car in some sort of VLN capacity.
Okay.
Probably, just because everything does.
Yeah. It'd be pretty cool to see those races, actually, wouldn't it? See the driver.
You know, some kind of, you know, serious cage, like a beach buggy kind of thing. But, yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting point. I hadn't even really thought about that. I think, you know, these days, kind of anything goes, doesn't it? Yeah, you don't look that happy about it.
He's grimacing, isn't he?
I just don't want the company to go down that route of this proliferation of a badge and what's the word? Maybe sully it slightly. And an RS is a homologation of a race car. Rennsport race, you know, that to me, that is it. And I just think I get with the GT4 RS, there's a, you know, the GT4 club sport that races, so there's a dotted line to it. But I was nonplussed by the concept of a GT4 RS, and I am even more nonplussed by the concept of a Spider RS. I think I also have reservations a lightweight, because it's an RS, so it has to be a lightweight, open tops, therefore no roof, two-seater car, weighs 110 kilos more than a Boggo 996 C2. And I think, oh, I don't know, is that a lightweight?
Here he goes about his lightweight C2.
Wow. 110 kilos for an RS.
Come on, but it's a bit different, isn't it? That old thing over there, it's got nothing in it, is it? There's no safety.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not even got a safety colour on the outside, is it?
Well, it's got the safety colour of Irish green. You see, it's a Porsche Spider thing. Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, like I say, like it's, yeah, look, it's great. It's going to be a fantastic car. It's going to drive really well, et cetera, et cetera. I just worry about, you know, are we going to have one day a Taycan RS?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about that as you were, you know, when I was getting your line of thinking on this one, I was wondering to myself, is RS an ethos these days to some degree, not a marketing tag, but is it an ethos? And then I thought, you know, what does that mean? Could there be a KN RS?
There
shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, a Boxster Spider RS, there's a legitimate step that you can make into that realm. And I can't imagine, you know, I'll stand to be corrected, and I'll be sad if I ever am, if there's a Taycan RS or a KN RS or a Macan RS or anything like that. You know, then I think that's bad. But I think that, you know, in this day and age, I think it can be a spirit or an ethos that can be applied to an appropriate platform.
I think I'm all right with it. I think I'm all right with the RS moniker on it.
Yeah.
What's the deal on the roof? I heard lots of sort of chat about the roof's
people have been getting a bit bloody fussy about the roof. As I understand it, and I did speak very quickly to Nick Jeffrey about it today, who's a resident Spider expert. As I understand it, it's very similar to the roof on the 987 Spider.
Okay, so it's still a full. So it's not like just a canopy. It is a roof that actually kind of seals.
It's not just a canopy. It's a bit more than a canopy, but it's not as useful as the roof on a 981 or 718 Spider.
Okay.
So, you know, I think Nick views his roof on his as something that you've got to put on if you need it.
Yeah.
You know, it'll probably reduce the top speed like it does on Nick's car. So, you know, it's
got a rear window, isn't it? And it comes around the side, because I saw a photo without the rear window installed. And then I saw a bit of text, somebody saying, oh, I'm out because it hasn't got a rear window. And then I heard somebody else saying, well, no, that's, you know, that it's just that bit's not fitted. But I don't know the full story. Yeah. So
I think the whole roof thing is a bit of non-news, isn't it? People just love to fuss about something. Anything can be fussed about, people are going to fuss. I think it's a non-event.
Yeah.
I was a rear window away from buying that car.
I'm out. Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
What I will say to put a positive spin on it is, it doesn't appear to be a numbered production run or anything like that. So therefore, hopefully, like if you want it, you know, you might get it.
I think you're pissing in the wind there.
Yeah.
I'm trying, guys. You know, I don't want any negative Nelly accusations, but it's not a numbered production run. So like obviously, you know, there will be a number agreed, and of course with Porsche it'll be one less than demand. That's kind of how it works. But I know like Porsche GB or Porsche UK, whatever, they to rephrase that, dealerships aren't quite sure of the numbers they're going to be getting, where there's usually there'll be a rough idea with a, like a numbered production just based on kind of previous allocation and whatnot. So, you know, that's kind of cool. I think that if, because the whole point for this, is it not, is because that platform is about to go electrified.
Yeah.
This is the last, the final swan song and, you know, the ICE mid-engine car in all its glory.
So we need to forgive it the roof and the RS moniker and embrace the joy.
And go fully marketing on it. I mean, sorry.
Come on. Come on. I mean, it is going to be bloody fantastic. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, could it be ironically maybe an easier car to live with than the Cayman RS? Because a lot of people say that's hard work, isn't it? You've got the induction thing right behind your head and it resonates around the cabin and it's really hard work. Gives me a headache. I don't want it. But if you've got the roof off or anyway, and you know, you've got a lot
of maybe it's not
buffeting and sound and sound gets carried away in the wind and all that sort of thing, you know, maybe it's just going to be, maybe it's going to be the one to have.
Yeah. Maybe not quite as round.
Could work. Yeah. Could well be.
Who knows?
Could well but be.
Would I think it's cool.
Do you remember the, can't remember what it was called now, but the car, they did a one-off that Grant Larson made, from the museum. It was based on the 981 platform white and it had like green accents, one seat.
I do remember.
You know, I think if you're going to do a final swan song sort of car, something like that, that the kind of harks back to company roots, that's very...
Was that Bergmeister or something?
Yeah, something
Like, yeah, I remember that,
I mean, that's...
That is cool.
That's wicked. Yeah. That is wicked.
Maybe someone will make like a tonneau, like a carbon tonneau to go over the passenger seat to give that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, that's great.
Like Andy, you could probably fashion one of those, couldn't you?
Yeah. Bang one out.
Yeah. And then get on with the job.
Yeah. Indeed. Feels for you too.
Quality.
Oh, laughing at their own jokes.
I liked it. Yeah.
Talking of just on your point there about your ridiculous reference point about how lightweight a 996 is, you know, fully fluffing your own pillow
I've never heard legitimate said that way before. But anyway, yeah, go on.
I was hanging out at the Wriggly Monkey Brewery tap room at Biss Heritage last night after the collecting cars do. I was with Dr. George, my friend Dr. George.
How is Dr. George?
He was very tired.
I bet he was because he'd flown in that day.
He'd flown in that day.
Yeah.
He's come back actually for the CSL anniversary.
Is he going out to Germany?
CSL stuff.
That's cool. Next
week. So he's out there picking up our friend Johnny Lau on the way. They're out there for 5 or 6 days at Nürburgring and Hockenheim and in Munich and, with, I think, 40 CSLs or something.
God, he's going to be creaming
most of them,
pants.
I think, from this country. Such is the enthusiasm for that sort of thing in this country. Anyway, so he was in his 993 RS Club Sport rep.
Yeah.
And we were chatting to a guy whose name I don't know, but I recognise his car. He's got an actual, no respect to George, an actual 993 RS, a black one. And I've seen it around and noticed that he runs 996 five-spoke wheels on it. You know, the wheel design, which is a bit like the one I had on my 997, but the 18.
They're very light, aren't they?
I always assumed it was because, you know, the weather not wanting to damage split rim speed lines, you know, beyond repair and all that sort of thing. And he said that he has two pairs of the speed lines. But that wheel, which just happens to be in the correct size, the correct offset and all that sort of thing, standard, I think, Gen 2 996 wheel, is only 56% of the weight of the split rim speed line wheel.
Oof. Wowzers.
So he swapped them over many times. He says it makes, you know, that much weight saving makes a tangible difference to the way the car drives.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
bloody hell.
There you go. Keep fluffing that pillow.
Well, absolutely. I don't need to. I'm not selling mine. Yeah. Great fact, though.
Yeah.
Great fact.
There we go.
Cracking. Right. So with that in mind, we'll move on to some spec regret, which is mighty handy because in terms of Porsche, nobody around this table has ever bought a new one.
This is very true.
Yeah. But I think it's something that... actually, I think it was Craig Varty from Craig Spider Club talked to me. He's got... I think he's got a couple actually. In fact, I know he's got a couple of spiders on order.
Yeah.
And inspected some cars in the past. He mentioned spec regret. And we thought, that's a really cool way to phrase it. And like we've all seen when we're browsing cars in the used market, like funny options and stuff. And we've kind of always therefore wondered, I wonder if the owners felt that, particularly when it comes to resale.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. So we just think we'll kind of dive into that a little bit.
Haven't we got a little segment from Greg at RPM?
Yes, Greg at RPM Technics.
Do you think that could spark some conversation around spec regret with us? Shall I play that first?
Can do, yeah. Good idea.
All right,
very good
play
idea.
That now.
Yeah.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for your WhatsApp about your upcoming podcast on spec regrets. After you sent that, I pondered it for a little while and it started to make me chuckle. After probably, was it 2 decades now, buying, selling cars, there have been some howlers that I've seen. In the old days, when I used to work for Porsche, they would still process customer orders up manually. So they'd be transposed from a manual order pad where they were written on to someone on the admin side who would then order the cars through Porsche. And obviously where you've got multiple humans involved, it would be open for many errors. And happy to say it never actually happened to me whilst I worked at Porsche, but I would sit there and giggle sometimes when the car transporters came in and you could see the salesman sweating and wriggling around where the car had been ordered either in the wrong colour or with the wrong transmission. Not funny at the time, but hilarious in hindsight. But I think they've eliminated that these days with, you know, the spec configurator providing a spec code, so it makes it a lot easier. But we've equally seen some interesting cars over the years. I remember selling a KN GTS with a manual transmission, and I periodically always thought about that car, wondering whether that was actually ever supposed to have a manual transmission. Actually had straight through exhausts on it. It actually suited the car quite well with a manual box, but there's only a handful of them around. Same with the Panameras. You see the odd manual Panamera, which I always wonder whether that was a mistake when it came through. But I mean, in terms of spec regrets, it'd be really interesting to listen to this podcast, because I don't think there's many options that you'd ever regret ordering. I think, well, you know, from my point of view, it'd be more like options that you ordered that you never used might be more prevalent. Things like night vision. I always wonder how many times people actually use that. But in terms of, you know, what's popular these days, I mean, it kind of was stating the obvious, but, you know, the highest spec as possible is what everybody's after. So again, you know, there's loads of videos online, and, you know, the Porsche centres are really good these days, so they'll help advise. But I guess we still see some when, you know, being offered cars, or you see them on the private ads of some very, very questionable colour combinations. There was quite an expensive 991 that was going around last year that was yellow outside with full red inside. It looked like it had been optioned by Ronald McDonald, which we were chuckling about. And generally, you know, yeah, colour's subjective, obviously, but there are some that you think, ugh, that's going to be challenging come resale time. And on that front, on the current crop of options, one thing that will be interesting that I keep looking at is the decal options on the configurator. I think they're going to be removable, so it obviously won't cause a huge amount of issue. But some of the new decals Porsche have allowed to be put on the cars are interesting. Watch this space 12, 18 months down the line. But hope that helps, and I'll be very interested to listen to this one.
Great shout with the decals.
Yeah, I'm not so keen.
On the, you know, like with the Heritage Edition.
Yep.
Cars with like the big numbers on the sides, you know.
Oof. Who's up for them?
No one, surely.
No. Come you on. Do see a few about.
I know. It's daft, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not.
At least they are removable.
Yeah. I mean, especially on the like the Targa. Yeah, the Heritage Edition.
Yeah, I don't get that on
Targa.
The Targa. I mean,
it's not even like
a race
to be a
type
motorsport car.
Yeah, not even remotely.
It's daft. Yeah. Stupid.
Agree with that. Yeah.
I think where it could be quite good. And for me, not the bloody Rough Trade Records one, whatever it is on the Dakar, but some of the other liveries that you can order your Dakar in. Some of those are quite cool.
Yeah,
actually. Yeah. But I haven't seen any of those actually in In the raw, yeah, it's all the bloody...
What? I've lost it.
He's filthy fantastic. This afternoon. I don't know what's going on with him.
No, it's not filthy.
I don't know what he's on about.
It's not, no.
No, that's fantastic.
It's filthy in his mind for some reason.
Everything's filthy in his mind.
I know. What's going on?
As funny as you like.
I'll tell you what was interesting was when it was saying the combination of colours.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a yellow 993 C2S, which was yellow on the outside. It was green on the inside, which you would think, bloody hell. I actually thought it was quite interesting in quite an just kind of cool way.
Would but you?
I don't know if I would. Oh, I don't know. I'll try and find the pictures for it. But the reason for it was the guy was Brazilian.
Okay, quality. He wanted, amazing. Like spec.
Yeah.
Love it.
But who would actually pick that, you know? And it was somebody that was trying to buy it in Germany, from what I can remember. And he was like, I'm in an R-ing, and like, would I buy it and then put a black interior in it? And I was like, no, it's amazing. Go for it, because it is just so unique. But it did kind of work. But in your mind, yellow with a full green interior. What?
It's one of them where, like, you need to apply the tyre test, as we've said before. You know, would you... There's a difference between walking past it at a show or Cars and Coffee going, oh, that's nice, versus going, I could live with it. So, you know, could you buy a set of tyres for it or something?
No, I think I could have lived there.
Really? Yeah. Isn't it funny? It's obviously, taste change. And we spoke about, like, the 70s pastel colours coming out. And obviously, that vibrance and flair is very much back. But... you mentioned green interior, so 996, 986, nephrite green.
Yeah.
That interior, you know, 5 years ago, you wouldn't go anywhere near it.
Ripping that out, like,
but now, I mean, to my mind at least, that's seriously cool.
Yeah.
Seriously, seriously cool, you know.
And with like seal grey or something like that, or meteor grey and that interior, brilliant.
And, you know, even, it's perhaps not even subjective, this is where we need somebody from within the industry to kind of help out here, but like, maybe 5 years ago, you'd have had to take a small financial penalty on that resale, whereas now it could possibly, I mean, at least parity with you know, your kind of normal, you know, black interiors or whatever.
Well, I've said about my car, the SC, is that the guy that bought it before me 18 years ago, he was like his first, or all of his mates, I think, were like, well, when are you going to put a black interior on it? When are you going to take out that crazy red and orange interior? And so, I'm so glad he didn't, but it could well have happened.
Yeah, of course,
it would have been another grey car with a black interior rather than what it is now, which is something that's really funky. That's true.
So. Went to see a psychic who said there's going to be some nutter in Dorset that's going to buy your car one day.
Love it.
Keep it. But this is it. But like with your Boxster Max as well, you'd said obviously there might have been a potential oversight with the spec.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you say, we haven't been lucky enough, any of us yet, to spec a brand new Porsche for ourselves. But I've had an element of spec regret in all four of my Porsches.
Okay, actually, take us through them.
With the 997, the compromise that I had to make, you know, on balance, was the stone grey interior. I mean, it's not as bad as an elephant's dick interior in the 993. Elephant's foreskin, sorry. But it's not the interior that I wanted.
Yeah.
And for the 9 years, nearly 10 years that I had the car, it was something that, because obviously you're inside the car quite a lot when you're using it, I'd often think, God, wouldn't it be nice to change this interior? So that was a compromise I had to make to get the mechanical spec and basalt black and other things that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's invariably a compromise, and you know, with the mechanic, it's quite a big one because I desperately wanted a mechanic, but the only one I could afford was a diesel. And you know, at least once a week, I'm in that thing, and I think, God, I wish I had a bloody GTS or at least you know, petrol V6S.
I bet you don't when you look at your bank account.
You know, there is that. So that really ebbs and flows, that one. But you know, it does happen with the, you know. With the 991, I'd actually overlooked that car, remember. I'd seen it for sale at RPM, but because of the spec, you know, the anthracite brown metallic and the light interior, I didn't really want a light interior car. But I went back to it because the mechanical spec was so good. And I thought, because RPM, you know, they're my locals, so I thought, well, I'll go and have a look at it. And I think the spec might be a bit too Bentley Continental GT, you know, but I'll know straight away. And I went and I saw it and it looked fantastic and I bought it and I loved it. But I always found the light carpets really hard work. Every time I'd get in, I'd feel like I was Jenson Button. I'd want to kick my feet up and have someone wipe the, you know, the stones off the soles of my shoes before I got in and that sort of thing. And it really troubled me. But once you're in there, you know, it was a great place to be, that interior. I just wished it had dark carpets.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was always a thing. And then with the Boxster, I thought there was no spec regret because I saw that thing come up. And as you know, the hardest thing with that was to find a manual 981 Boxster S. Mm-hmm. And I'd looked at everything that was for sale, you know, the four or five that were for sale. There were ones that didn't have heated seats. I thought, how are you specing a Boxster without heated seats? I'm not having that. You know, I really want a DAB radio. I know you can do things about that, but I really wanted it. You know, couldn't find that. So when the one that I came up, that I bought came up, silver with black interior, DAB radio, you know, all the bits, I thought, that's the one. You know, I've almost got to buy it, even if it's a shitter, because it's the only one for sale.
Yes, anyway.
But as it turned out, it was a bloody lovely car, so it was a great thing to buy. But through the process, actually, when I came to pick it up, it was only then that we realised, because it's got a complete speck of tech inside, DAB and NAV and all that sort of thing, but it didn't have Bluetooth phone module.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, it's absurd that that should be an option, but it is. It was like £112 or £117
or something like that. Why wouldn't you do that, actually?
You know, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, why the bloody hell isn't, you know, isn't that standard?
Would
nowadays?
It ever be a conscious decision to not have it unless it tipped your PCP over, you know, another to the next £100 or something?
Yeah, or
psychologically, something had to go
or something,
like that, maybe. Otherwise, it must surely be an oversight because you think, why in 2015, why wouldn't an expensive car like that have Bluetooth
for
a phone? But fortunately, so I talked about it with Simon, you know, and Simon thought, you know, that it's the car really should have that. I almost thought I wasn't that bothered about it, to be honest, because I prefer not to chat too much on the phone when I'm in the car. But Simon said, look, I think we should sort this out. So that worked out really well with Cameron. Simon researched it because it had the all the other nav bit and all that kind of thing. Simon was able to source the module. I paid for it and he fitted it. So it all worked out. And actually now I'm pleased that it's done because it sort of does complete the spec of the car. But yeah, strange thing to have. And actually last night I was with Pete Estwick and he's actually bought one of the other nicest manual 981 Boxster S, one of the ones that I'd overlooked because it didn't have heated seats.
Okay.
Pete's like, you know, he's a hot-blooded male. He don't need heated seats. So he's bought the car. It's the same colour as mine.
It's going to be really nice.
I have, yeah, big time. But he's just noticed that his hasn't got Bluetooth phone either.
It's bizarre for the price point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. His is a 13, and I'm not sure whether the spec of nav and bits that he has got means that he can do the same thing that I did. So he might have to go for the full, you know, CarPlay upgrade kind of, you know, thing that you can do third party wise. But yeah, so a little bit of spec regret in every
Porsche
car that I've bought, actually.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm trying to think if I've had any in mine. So 993, my spec regret on the 993 when I guess when I was looking at it, would have been the Guards Red. Because
really?
That was a compromise.
Wow.
Buying a Guards Red car. I'm not, I wouldn't have gone for it, but I just loved it. Now that I've had it, loved Guards Red. I think it's absolutely fabulous colour.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think everything pretty much was dead right on that car. Yeah, it's got all the right bits that I wanted in my first Porsche. So,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I can't think, to be honest. I wouldn't say there's anything I've had four 911s in, four 996s, to clarify. It's not really been anything where I thought, oh, really, it's put me off the car.
Yeah.
It's all just perhaps been part of the, what's quite often a nuance of the car. Yeah. in where the shape
that
or
bit's
form
falling off.
even the first one, I remember there's a couple of bizarre comments really after the first one. It was a C4. And they said, why do you regret getting a C4? Because of the four-wheel drive. And it's like, well, no, it's brilliant, actually. Can use it all year round and et cetera, et cetera. But,
And yours had those super light wheels, didn't it? That five-spoke wheel design, a bit like on your anniversary.
Yeah, it did, your first one. So, yeah, it's not never anything that I've regretted. I think with Little Irish, obviously, it was Zenith Blue to begin with. And obviously, it's immaterial now because I've taken the seats out. But it was a non-sunroof, rear-wheel drive, manual, optional LSD put in.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty driver-focused. And then comfort seats with ruffled leather.
Hey!
What are you doing?
dunes.
Those ruffles, just to keep hold of all the dirt.
Yeah, exactly that. Fell down at the last rather than some sports seats. But that was just kind of, yeah, that was bizarre more than anything. But yeah, nothing, I think, for me, really. But again, this is all wonderfully subjective, you know.
Yeah,
it could be that somebody at the time found that the comfort seat was exactly that over a sports seat, yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, quite interesting, really. Something that, you know, and again, this is from somebody that hasn't bought a modern Porsche, but the thing I struggle with is painted vents. Like, I think the only vehicle that should have paint on the inside is a decorator's van. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's wonderful.
That reminds me of this amazing thing I saw on, I think it was on YouTube, or, you know, YouTube, what they call reels or something like that.
Yeah.
And there was this, it was some sort of Mitsubishi that had been in a crash.
Yeah.
And then it panned to this guy that was there covered in head to toe in white paint.
Yeah.
And then somebody opened the door of the car and there was white paint everywhere. And it had, basically, it had about 6 or 7 10-litre pots of paint in the car, and it just T-boned it into somebody else, and he was there mopping the paint out of his eyes. Just everywhere. Sorry to interject and totally go off in a random way.
It sounds emotional.
It was very emotional.
Oh, I'm totally with you on the vent thing. They just daft when they're painted. But where I do like it is that the trim option, you know, thinking around the center console and maybe across the dash where you might have it aluminium finish or carbon finish or wood, even if you're old. Sometimes you can have that in body color, sometimes, and sometimes that works
with the right color. It works.
I think that can look good.
Think you definitely need to pick the right color outside for that to work inside.
Agreed. But it can look smart, I think.
It can do in the right
that anniversary behind us, whatever it is. He's got that painted center console and painted like sport back seats.
I like that.
I don't like it.
Do you know?
Think that shouldn't be there. Because, and again, like interior surfaces, they scratch and stuff. And, you know, I don't know, like that just, to me, that is like prime. That's the first thing that's going to go is, but again, I mean, I personally wouldn't describe that as like spec regret, because I understand it's kind of part of the car. So you just kind of get on. Actually, with the vents at the front being silver as well, I have a bit of an issue with that, as we spoke about before.
I was thinking about that. You could probably, you know, there's some bits you could unsee.
Yeah.
You could wrap those bits that you can't unsee in black.
I promised Tony Hatter I'd leave it alone.
I've got to be held to that.
But all right. That's for me, paint on the inside. But again, it's all wonderfully subjective. You know, subjective.
While we're on the inside, I'd love to know what your feelings are on, is it deviated stitching?
Yeah, okay, I'd say I quite like it.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's your...
Deviated stitching, sometimes I think that for the price, I don't think it's
worth it. What sort of cash is it then?
I can't... I can't remember what I was specking. It was maybe when, as we were talking about over lunch, when I was specking a McCann GTS.
Yeah.
And I was looking at deviated stitching in that, and it was just too much, especially because I think there are some options where there's a standard deviated stitch. So to go for a like the courtesy car that I had, the 2 litre McCann that I had, that had was that sort of orangey bronze colour on the outside, that had deviated stitching on the inside in orange, and that was not nice. Would have cost, you know, I'm not sure what the money is, but it could have been over £1,000. Ooh. You know, and that, so. But, you know, where it's crayon stitching, which comes in some spec options as part of the package, I think that looks quite nice.
I think you have to be careful with it. It's another thing,
isn't
it?
I agree, you have to be careful. Yeah. You know, if it's like blue or, I mean, red, a little bit 80s, yellow. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
I'm going to be controversial and say yellow deviated stitching with yellow calipers and yellow seatbelts and yellow whatever else is an absolute no-no in my book. I'm sorry, anybody that's got that, but that's just no way I'd go near that. And it's all because of the bloody yellow ceramic calipers that people go for it.
I'm with you.
I don't get it.
Yeah. On the, at the time when I was looking for my McCann and when I was thinking I might be able to afford a GTS, I would immediately discount any car that had red or yellow dials. I just don't want that. And that was typically a brake matching thing.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I remember Neil Plumpton, when he had that black 991 GT3, that had red dials, and he didn't like it. And it was quite straightforward and affordable to change the chrono clock, but the actual dials, he looked into it, and it was too expensive, even for him. So, and I don't like those coloured dials.
It's interesting because that my 993's got deviated red stitching, and I've got red seat belts, and I've got a red rev counter. Somehow I like all that.
It seems appropriate.
Yeah.
That bloody McCann had orange seatbelts as well.
Did it?
I remember. Ooh. Papaya or something it's called. I got in it and I was kind of looking at it as I was getting in. I wasn't really paying attention. And I was wearing a black jumper and I'm pulling the seatbelt across. And I was a bit surprised.
Jesus,
this thing that was in my hand, yeah.
Where did this come from?
Who's put this lightsaber in?
Yeah, exactly. Bloody ridiculous. I thought I was holding a wham bar. Very strange.
Strange. So I think what we've said then is on those sort of colour coded interiors, deviated stitching, seat belts, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, I've got to be
careful. I think you could do easy spec regret because you could go way overboard and go, it's all got a match. And then you've just got this just way too much detail going on.
Yeah. I remember Carl Mayer back in the day, obviously he came on this podcast a while ago now. But when he was working at Porsche Centre Bournemouth in sales, and this was sort of like mid-2000s, late-2000s, when it was a very different ball game for context, 682 996 RSs, because that's all they could make or sell, you know, demand. When people would try to go a little bit leery with exterior colour or interior colour, Carl felt it was kind of the duty of the team to say, look, do what you want, it's your car. However, when it comes to resale, you might find there'll be a struggle there, and obviously that will be reflected in price. So if we're buying it back off you, or if you're trying to sell it elsewhere, you might struggle a little bit. So it might be best to play it safe. Whereas these days, I feel like, and of course, to qualify it, these are all opinions, it's all entirely subjective. The reality is, even cars with what we think are woeful specs, they'll sell anyway.
Yeah.
There's enough people out there that want these cars.
Yeah, so, and it's always different strokes for different folks.
Yeah,
isn't it,
you know, there's no accounting for taste, is there? One man's spec regret is another man's bloody dream machine, isn't
it? Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, as Will Lee said to me when we were talking about one particular, I think it was a 992 GT3 Touring, I was like, bloody hell, Lee, I'm not keen on that. And he said, I'm just glad that we've had the chance to see it.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, so he was, you know, he's kind of, you know, that's good that it's out there and we can see it.
Yeah.
Whether it's for you or not is another thing.
Yeah, it's a bit like you've got to, I don't know, I think if you do want to look at it holistically, it does include an exit strategy. So, for example, I've got a friend, I won't give his name away or what car he drives, but he was looking at private number plates and he found one that said A45 John. I was like, mate, when you come to sell that car, what then what? And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, you might as well just put an advert up saying, if your name's not John, don't bother trying to buy this car, because you couldn't really sell the plate separately, because like that is seriously niche. You need to find someone with an A class and whose name is John or Jonathan, you know. And it's like, yeah, and it's like the same with their like personalized kick plates. That's a bit of a bugbear.
Personalized
kick plates is a bit naughty.
Are any of those acceptable?
No, I think it's a bit naughty myself. But again, like, it's all subjective. But like when you sell it, you know, if you're buying a lovely Targa that says, you know, Marvin or whatever across the kick plate.
What's the worst one you've seen?
I'm
trying to think. Yeah. I have seen some really
Generally bad, so it's hard to pick one out.
The font's really rubbish as well, isn't it?
Well, I think that's something you can pick, can't you?
Can you pick the font?
It's a bit like when you're doing your Instagram story and you choose your font. I think it's a bit like that.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some seriously. Can you imagine using somebody doing a Comic Sans?
Yeah, exactly.
It can be some really.
Talking of number plate spec regret, the number plate thing is more of an OCD thing for me, because I like the neatness of three letters and three numbers. But I do own, as some people will know, MNZ 911.
Yeah.
I don't actually own a 911. The question is, that plate's on retention. Does it go on the Boxster?
Well, it's your initials.
Max Newman's Yeah, I know. No, I'm at the cheaper end of the private number plate market, you know, what can I say? I'm not Neil Clifford. Yeah, he's bought all the good ones. So, I mean, I have got other ones, and if I could be bothered and spend enough £80, I could do a shift around. To get some more appropriate ones. Yeah. You know, I could get end up with 956 on the Boxster, which is a mid-engine and mates thing. But I said this to Mandy, and she's like, look, I've got my Ringo account set up. I know what number plate my car is. Don't go changing 956 for 959, because that's just going to – I can't cope with that. So so that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I've either got to leave MNZ 911 on retention, or – I've got to put it on the Boxster, or I could put it on Lily's Hyundai, I suppose.
Yeah.
Can it go on the Boxster? What do you think?
I think you should. Okay, you should put it on the Boxster, but you should also carry around a little tin. And every single time someone goes, excuse me, mate.
It's not 911.
You do know. What you do is you whip the tin out and you just go...
Panned.
You've got to put a tin in because twatty comments go to charity and you can raise a lot of money there.
That's a good idea. You know, okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll put it on the car and that's what I'll do.
Get out your little tin.
Put it on the car.
A pound.
Give a pound. Yeah, silly comment. It comes with a penalty.
Yeah. I'm going to get a little China money box thing in the shape of a Porsche. I should be able to get one of those. I'm going to keep it in the boot.
Yeah.
Front boot or back boot, I'm not saying, so don't break in and try and nick it.
Yeah, right. I think I'm going to get one of those tins for the amount of people that go, nice beetle, mate.
Nice beetle. I've never had that.
Haven't you?
No.
Oh, God, I've heard that so many times. So, idiots. There we go.
Here you go. Talking of spec regret or not, depending on which way you look at it, my beloved departed 991, when I went to see Simon at Cameron to get the Bluetooth done, and they kindly put my Zonsport grills in for me whilst it was there, which was good of them.
Yeah.
I said to him, so... in fact, he might have started the conversation. So where's the car? It's not on the way. He said, I've got to tell you about the car. I'm like, oh, right. Yeah,
oh, okay, here was the story.
Oh, God, it wasn't a ringer, was it? It wasn't too welded together.
Fell out.
Something like that. And this is especially for you, Andy.
Yeah.
My car didn't make it onto the website because it's been sold to a 70-year-old lady.
Has it really? Fantastic.
So there's...
I've just got this vision now of this lady's slipper, satin brown on the outside, and then that furry sort of... like it's a Gucci slipper.
Well, at least it's going to be driven slightly faster now. Oh, that's amazing. That's really cool, to be fair.
There's a lady who was... I think she was maybe known to Simon, and she had for a long time, so she's cool. Yeah. She's a cool chick. She had a 03.
I did say she was a Gucci slipper,
black
and brown satin.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking cool. On a black one here, yeah. You know, Jane Seymour. Yeah. This is what I'm imagining.
Yeah,
she had a 996 Targa,
okay,
03,
yeah.
Which she'd had for a long time, and one of her children, one of her sons, wrote it off over Christmas.
Oh,
took it for a drive, just take the car for a drive, mum, stacked it. Destroyed it.
Yeah.
So she was bereft and without a Porsche at the age of 70.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not acceptable. So she went in to see Simon to have a look. She saw it. Straight away,
awesome.
She was like, I've got to have that. That's the one for me.
Oh, that's really cool.
And Simon reckons there are enough people who then came in and saw it. I mean, at Cameron, there's some sensational stock.
Yeah.
But he reckons he could have sold that car quite easily, quite a few times over.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
even in amongst his stuff. So I'm so pleased that it went,
it's gone to a great fast granny.
Home.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think we should
We should get her on the pod.
We should try and find her. Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's try and do that.
Especially if it is Jane Seymour.
that's really cool. I'm loving that.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
So there you go. Slipper spec all round, Andy. I knew you'd love
it. Love it. Now, it's Gucci slipper.
Gucci slipper.
Yeah.
I've had a message from Jonathan Franklin. So I asked Jonathan for his input.
Oh, cool.
For spec regret. And Jonathan says, so I've got it, it's written down here. It comes down to personal taste, I believe. But yes, I have seen a few that aren't to my own personal taste in my time. Jonathan, before he did Jonathan Franklin cars, was at Hexagon in London, for example. I think some... Okay, so this is interesting. Goes against what we've just said. I think some of the newer cars look good with the colour-coded vents.
Oh.
But there has to be continuity throughout the cabin.
maybe like contrast stitching. Oof, yeah,
Jonathan.
So accents like seatbelts and vents and stitching, door pulls, etc. However, if one is left out, then it can look a bit odd. This is what I mean. It's all subjective.
I'm going to look at Jonathan's socks next time I see him. I bet they're going to be yellow.
A personal, this is, I've not made this up, by the way. A personal favourite of mine is black interior with coloured stitching and belts. What do we know? What do we know? I think it lifts the cabin and makes it much more exciting. Okay, black is obviously safe for resale, but can be boring on the wrong model. For example, GT cars can handle a lot more of an ambitious look.
Mm.
Which, yeah, bang on, you know, and obviously Jonathan in buying and selling the cars, I think is fairly qualified.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say that, but you know, I agree, and like, same with colours, really. Like, you can see these like real vibrant cars just look great on a GT car, not so much on a Cayenne or something, you know. That, but again, all wonderfully subjective.
Yeah,
wonderfully subjective.
And Jonathan, of course, famously owns a beautiful speed yellow 964 C2, doesn't he?
Yes, paint sample.
That's a car, isn't it?
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I think that's right. You know, could you a GT car's immune from spec regret?
That's a big statement, isn't it?
No, I might. It's a question.
I think they're immune to crazy colour interior stuff going on. To a certain extent. No, they're not. No,
do you not think? Yeah. Because it's a GT car, you can get away with it. You know, a lot of them, when chatting to wonderful owners, some within the collective, got a GT3 and say, it's got a GT3. Unfortunately, it hasn't got axle lift. That seems to be a big thing.
Yeah, that's definitely spec regret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something I've never quite been able to get my head around, why it is even available, let alone why you choose it.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Is that red? The red interior bits on 901 GT2 RS, you know, you get a nice silver GT silver with vice gold wheels, and then inside you spec the red bits where it's on the A-pillar Alcantara and the seats and all over. I don't understand.
I mean, it follows from the 997s. That's the Genesis. The 997 GT2 RS was like all red on the interior. So the question should be why the 997 was. Nothing to kind of go off. You know, I assume, but
strange.
But you know, I think Jonathan's absolutely right. The GT cars can get away with more vibrancy or more personalization. I think someone will always have it for the engine, for the chassis, and do you know what I mean?
I don't think they're immune to it. I think that's a big statement to say they're immune from spec regret.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Similarly with like axle lift, and when they're like comfort, and you don't really see it over here, you do see it a bit more in the States, comfort spec GT3s with sunroofs. So at Paragon this week, we did a 996.2 GT3 v 997.1 GT3 head-to-head test for Nineworks TV. It's not out yet, it'll be out shortly, which was fascinating. And the 997 was a comfort with a sunroof, and I really enjoyed it, actually. But again, some people just wouldn't dig that.
I tell you what, I love a sunroof.
And
it's not as uncommon as you'd think, because 997.1 GT3, my favorite GT3, I've, you know, looked at them in detail over the years. Sunroof is not uncommon.
Okay.
Nick Jeffries, his GT Silver Comfort, beautiful, that's got sunroof.
It's a lovely white one at RPM Technic sunroof on the marketplace recently, actually. So yeah, that's in the, yeah, they all are 997.1s thinking about it.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling that all of the American GT3 997.1s do have a sunroof.
Okay.
I don't think you could spec it without.
Okay.
I don't know why I think that. I've got that in my mind. Yeah. I could be totally talking out of my arse.
Yeah.
But I think I'm sort of 80% sure that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a Sunroof ST as well, which has become known as the Sunroof ST.
Ah.
Thomas would probably know about that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, he would definitely know about that. Sure. There's no probably about it.
So I've always been anti sunroofs and was very pleased when my 993 came up without a sunroof. But my SC has obviously got a sunroof.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, you had it open today on the way to mid-engine and mates, I saw.
It's open 90% of the time I'm in that car.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't believe how good those sunroofs are on early cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Zero buffeting. I can have both windows open. I can be doing 90 miles an hour on the motorway, and I'm just sat there enjoying the fresh air without getting buffeted about. Yeah, it's amazing,
isn't
it?
Agreed. Yeah.
In deference to Nick, Jeffrey bawling me out for having my roof up today on my way to Bournemouth, as I was coming out of Bicester towards Oxford, I did think, because I had the roof up, you know, it's black inside, it's quite dark in there, and I was thinking, I do miss the ability to have the,
just crack, you know,
the pano roof, just to have the glass there to bring some light in. I mean, again, my 911 had a light interior, so, you know, I've gone for really the opposite, but also the ability just to tilt the roof a little bit and just have that little bit of fresh air as I was driving.
Downforce.
As Nick would say, you should have just put the bloody roof down. You know, point taken, but still, I liked that, you know, that flexibility that sunroof brings. Bit of light, bit of vent, bit of this, bit of that. Options.
Yeah.
I love a sunroof.
Yeah. They are very cool. I think we've seen, and Will talked about it on the PTS RS episode, people like contacting him asking about which colour choice and kind of almost thinking about their choice being led perhaps by Instagram likes rather than personal satisfaction.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, I wonder how prevalent that is actually.
Yeah. In some respects, I quite like the idea that, and it's maybe not motivated by this, I like the idea that somebody appreciates that somebody else has better taste and can do a better job of specking a car that they've been lucky enough to get an allocation for.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure that that's the motivation when people are doing it, but I think I like the idea that someone would think, I'm going to speak to someone who knows, someone like Will Lee or Luke Gilbertson, because, you know, they can help me make some good
decisions. Yeah.
Good decisions. I quite like the idea of that, whether it's for Instagram likes or for resale, or because they think I might make a pig's ear of this if I don't get
it.
It
is a minefield, you know, you even using the Porsche configurator when you start selecting a few bits and it says, well, if you have this, you can't have
that. Knock that off.
And
yeah.
Sometimes at face value, that seems a little bit nonsensical. You know, it doesn't say like because, you know, X, Y, Z. And it is, and like you say, with the Bluetooth on the Boxster, for example, that just could be a massive oversight.
Yeah, it could have been.
I'd picked
the top nav system. Surely that comes with black Bluetooth. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Because it's already in the...
Yeah.
It probably was actually, wasn't it?
And particularly maybe if you've come from another brand where, you know, they chuck things in. And you get your Porsche delivered and it's just like, what do you mean no park assist? Yeah. Or, you know, like whatever it is.
That was going back actually to Darren at RPM.
Yeah.
Greg. Greg at RPM, sorry. And he was saying about things that you don't use.
Yeah.
So Sarah's got that XC40. That's a first edition car. And basically that's got every option on it. It's one of those, you know, the special, when they first build it, they put everything on it just to make it, get them all out the door because they're all the same. And let's give everybody the full spec.
Yeah.
See what goes wrong.
Yeah.
But there's so much stuff that we don't use in that car. It's got like the park assist and lane assist and does all sorts of stuff. And I look on the options and go, don't use that. There's loads that we don't use. So, yeah, I'm sure there is spec regret for people that pick stuff and then never actually get around to using it.
Yeah, I suppose, particularly for like the money or whatever.
That's a good, just thinking of it in that context, something which I used to talk about that I didn't use that much, which surprised people, was the sport or the loud exhaust button on the 991. You know, because of the work that they did to, you know, where they effectively used the rear bulkhead of a 991 as an amplifier to bring the sound. I think to meet some of the criticism of the DFI Gen 2 997 that didn't sound that good from inside the car. So they really tried to improve that. And that's kind of, you know, it's not synthesized, it's real, but it is amplified through the rear bulkhead.
Yeah.
And, but I'd find that a bit much sometimes, a bit droney or a bit over the top. So I'd have it in sport mode, but quiet exhaust.
Yeah, okay.
And so what might be a spec regret for other people on my Boxster is it hasn't got sports exhaust. And a couple of people have said to me, you're going to need sports exhaust on that. They sound amazing. And I'm not sure if I do, to be honest. And even now, you know, I've had it however long, I've had it a month or 5 weeks.
You're not feeling like
it. Hasn't crossed my mind for a moment that I should get sports exhaust. You know, when you wind it up, it sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds great.
And it has got a sport mode. I'm not sure exactly what that does, but it does give you a little bit, and it's quite muted. The sort of burbles that with a sports exhaust is quite aggressive. With the standard exhaust, the burbles and pops are still there, but they're muted. So they sound a bit more authentic to me, which I quite like.
Mm. Yeah.
So that would be a spec regret undoubtedly for a lot of people, and they'd get the however much it costs to do that, they'd get that fitted. I don't think I'm bothered.
Yeah, right.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, you know, it's all, what we've discussed today is all wonderfully subjective. And what I'd like to point out to people listening at home is, I hope we've not offended anybody. It's just our, you know, just our opinions.
Opinions,
and
yeah,
you know,
different.
Everybody's entitled to, yeah, to them.
And do exercise your right to reply.
Absolutely.
On tell Instagram, us, if you'd,
yeah,
like to.
Yeah.
Just tell us why we're wrong and let's
maybe
get stuck
in. We'll post, we'll try and find some things that we think are spec regret and see what other people think of that.
Yeah.
Post share some, is there a, can we use a hashtag or just Nine Works Radio? Post pictures of your own spec regrets or what you think should be other people's spec regrets and things.
Tag us in.
Let's have a bit of fun with it.
Let's pull the pin and throw it in.
on the socials, yeah. That'd be good fun.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, grand.
Cool.
What else have we got? Have we got any Patreon updates?
We've got loads.
Have we?
Yeah, have we got 10 minutes or so? Should I get it?
I
think we need
time?
To catch up.
You could do a little bit and then I could do an interlude. I've got another little bit of news to talk about. So you do a
okay,
bit and then
I'll do a bit
and
then I can have a little respite.
In.
Okay. First up then, it is Max's love, man love. Pete Eskwick is in. Thank you, Peter.
Not before time, Pete. Yeah, there's a man with no spec regret. His GT3, fantastic.
Indeed.
I know everyone's seen it.
There we go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Love him so much.
So, yeah, he's a privateer. He's had a few 911s before, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And also has a Taycan 4S as well as his GTS. Not GTS, his GT3. Yeah. Right then, next up is Mark. Oh, here we go. Here's one. Cofferhall? Yeah, Mark Cofferhall. I'll go for that.
Coffee house.
It says, thank you very much for all of our wonderful content. And he's got a Boxster, recent upgrade to a Boxster S. Yes, that's right, an upgrade.
Amazing.
He's had multiple 911s and still does. About a year ago, acquired a manual 987 non-DFI 3.4L Boxster S, 2008. Which he says is just an outstanding and purposeful sports car in its own right.
He sounds like a man after my own heart.
I feel like
some of that detail was for my benefit. Good
I
man.
Think it was. I think
good
spot
man.
On.
I think
spot it on. Was.
A further one for Max, actually. So, yeah, I was obviously talking to you. I would recommend the 3.2G. It is a dream in a garage.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm fortunate to also own an 87 3.2 Targa, which is just fantastic.
Lovely. Have we seen pictures of that on WhatsApp yet? If not, we need to see some pictures of those cars, please.
I'm not sure, actually.
I don't think we have.
Yeah, I'm not sure, I'm afraid. This is quite a long one, so I'm just having a quick nip through it. He's in New South Wales, in Australia.
Oh, right.
So I can't remember if he's on WhatsApp or not yet, whether we've introduced him as yet. So, yeah, great to have you aboard. 87 3.2 Targa. Yeah, I've said that already, haven't I? A combi camper. Yeah, so he's got all sorts of things going on.
Quality.
So,
has he got a ute as well?
I think he probably has, being Australian, indeed. Thank right, you. Next up is Andrew Boddill, who's a rookie. He is based in Hucknall in Northamptonshire. And he has... Sorry, I'm reading off my phone, which is not as good as normally on the computer. He's got a 2001 model year 996 Carrera 4, which he's finally got to after many years of not being able to buy a Porsche due to kids and stuff like that. So welcome aboard.
Spot on. Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Next up is Simon McCormack, works driver. Simon came to Wales with us.
Yes.
And I chased his 911. 991 Turbo S round.
Into a speed trap.
Yes.
but we don't talk about it.
Let's not
into
talk about
that. Into a honey trap.
Let's not talk. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he didn't get a blinking speeding ticket, but I seem to have done.
That's ceramics for you.
Yeah.
No spec regret there.
Yeah. No, he didn't break. He didn't break.
That was
well
the upgrade, wasn't it? Yeah, exactly that.
I wish he had a broken, and I would have done as well. So, yeah, it's 991.1 Turbo S, which is absolute missile. And he's also got a 1976 Grand Prix white 911, which he's currently having done up.
76. What's 76?
So
is that a 3 litre?
2.7. Yeah.
No, it's 2.
Oh.
I think it's 2.7.
I think I vaguely remember us having this chat now on the road trip. So okay. It's 76, you said, but that must be 76. A very late 2.7.
Because yeah, I'm sure it's 2.7.
Model year, 76 and 77.
Okay.
It's the 3.3. So maybe okay. It's a calendar year.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah. Pre-September.
No, but great to have you aboard, Simon.
Yes, yeah. Simon, yeah. What's yeah. up, Blake?
Okay, next up is Ralph Cohen, who's a rookie. He is in from East Sussex, and he drives a 993 Carrera 4 Coupe that he's recently purchased at Paragon, or 3 years ago he purchased it from Paragon, so not so recent. He definitely is on WhatsApp and posted some pictures up.
Yeah,
of that.
We've seen that.
Really lovely looking car.
Very nice.
Yeah, so great to have you aboard. Next up is Zach Parfit, who's a rookie driver.
Ah, Zacharuni. No, Zach.
Do you?
Yeah.
He's definitely not on WhatsApp yet because I haven't caught up. So we'll get Zach on in the next few days. He has recently bought a Porsche 987.1.
Lovely.
Boxster. My first Porsche and first Cabriolet. The former I always wanted and the latter very unexpected, but very enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. And I've got a couple of others that I need that haven't come back to me yet. That's Luke O'Neill and Jim Aris. Finally, I've got some upgrades. Edward Simpson has turned from... Oh, no, sorry, it's a downgrade. Sorry, Ed. Oh, unless I've got this the right, wrong way around, maybe. Privateer to Works or Works to Privateer. Not sure which. I'll double check that. And then finally, Toby Dyer has upped his... was Works, but upped it a little bit because he thinks we're so good.
Good man, Toby. Yeah,
thank you, Toby. Also got a returning member, which is Robert Greasley, disappeared for a while, but has come back to support us.
Good
thank
man,
you, Robert.
Good man. And I think yet to come, but something we're all looking forward to in the upgrade realms is Nick Jeffries, long awaited and much anticipated upgrade from something to something else, but we're all really looking forward to that, Nick. We were just talking about it at lunchtime today and you asked me to mention it on the
so
pod
bad.
Today. So, it's good
bad.
To see you today and Karen.
I've got a load of reviews to go through, but I think we'll save those for another week.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Amazing to have you all aboard.
Yeah.
So what's your story then, Max?
Yeah, well, I had, I hosted my second low-key Donners and DuckTales.
Oh, yeah. How did
the
it go?
The other Thursday. And it was really good fun. Very, very similar to the first one. Pretty low-key. We had a decent evening. A lot of people came. Darren from RPM came along with a little crowd of people, including Tim Harvey.
Cool.
A lot of people. Really good, really good crack. Charlie from CW Car Care was there, and it was a good evening. James Vellacott came over. James Vellacott actually grew up in Tame.
Yes,
so he drove over from Essex in his Sport Classic.
And he used to frequent that kebab van back when. Was it in his Fiesta or something?
Yeah,
like
that? Back in the day. So he came over. So there were actually some DuckTales at Donners and DuckTales. A plethora of DuckTales.
Fantastic.
But Paul Van der Loen, he did, just in case, he did buy me a rubber duck and bring it with me just in case it was going to be the only duck there. But it was another really good do. And I did see Josh and Jason, the twins, the Atelier twins who run it. I saw them a few days later. And they said what a good time they'd had. Because, a lot of people go to that kebab van. Most people come and go. But at Donners and DuckTales, people are hanging around there. The cars are there. Creates a bit of an atmosphere. And they said it was such... it's such a good time. They really enjoy it.
Nice.
And
nice.
It was a good do. So it's definitely going to happen again.
Awesome.
22nd of June is the day I've got in mind, which is a Thursday again.
Yep.
It's pretty close to the longest day of the year. So,
it is.
If it's a nice day, we can go long into the evening. So that's the plan.
Nice.
Thursday the 22nd.
Yeah.
I arranged them cars and coffee at Phil Raby. a barbecue.
Oh, yes, you haven't.
Yeah.
Blimey. Fantastic. Well, I'm going to change my date.
No, it's like rocket, go with both.
Rocket. So, Yeah. Oh, damn it.
How funny God is that? Because we were saying things like it's near to the, what do you call it, equinox.
Yeah. Equinox, yeah. The day
summer
after,
solstice.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
There's probably loads of stuff going on that night, isn't there? And the night before.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really good do. So thanks for everyone who came. Luke Gilbertson came. Peter from the Road Rat, Peter Gruner from the Road Rat came along. Hugh's doing the promo for the next one, working on that for me at the moment. So yeah, really good fun.
Oh,
you
fantastic.
Boys need to come to one.
Yeah,
need
definitely, to make it. Mate.
It's a long trek up though.
It's a long way for a kebab. It's a bloody good one.
I'm up for it, mate. 100%.
You can always stay at my house as well, remember?
Okay, all right.
100% up for it. So yeah, thanks for everybody that's going along. It's nice to support what you're doing there, Max. So yeah, very cool.
Yeah, very good.
Cool. You've got a big trip coming up this week?
Yes, off to Norway on Thursday morning. So we've got 7 cars going.
Yep.
Great mix of cars in there. 928.
Yep.
Nice.
Making the trip.
Oh, that Mike was my choice.
It was, yeah. So there we go. Yeah. We've also got...
I toyed with the 928 and then settled on the spiders.
Yeah, you do like multiple choices for a single choice question.
I like to go through my thinking process.
Yeah, show your working.
I always come down to one at the end.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I like to show my workings.
Well, Max and I, our ideal choice was a Turbo S cab.
A
modern one. And there is one of those going, a 991.1 Turbo S cab.
Excellent.
Jeevan is taking his 991.1 GTS.
Lovely.
So there's a good mix of
Nigel's
996 cab is going as well. So there's a good mix of cars in there. There's a 991.2 GTS Targa.
Lovely.
Actually, I mean, these are all just exquisite.
Car that you've taken on that trip in the past.
Yes, done before, exactly.
Yeah,
that.
Great
so,
car.
You know, done the recce. It's all fantastic tools for the job. So yeah, we leave Thursday morning.
What are you taking?
I'm taking it at Irish. And more importantly, I'm also taking my dad.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
Cannot wait. It's so funny. So I
invited. When did he decide to go?
A couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
Laura was due to come along. Instead, Laura's staying here and guarding the anniversary. Laura's got prior work commitments. So I had a space going. So I thought, I'm going to message my dad and see if my dad would like to go. And I texted him and he called back a couple of days later and he went, yeah, I'll go, Lee. To be honest, I wasn't gonna. I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I don't want to put you out if you're busy. But he said, no, you know,
Mum said I got to go.
Yeah, exactly that. No, my other brother has bought a house and he's been helping him do it up and he was kind of worried about finishing it. But he said, no, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to do something for me for a change. So, yeah, like my old man's coming with, which will be, I'm really looking forward to spending 8 days with him telling me to slow down. Which is what it will be.
Is he going to have a go behind the wheel?
I hope he does.
Yeah.
I hope he does.
Is he a snorer?
Oh, yeah. Worse than you, mate.
Is he sharing a room?
Yeah.
You're not getting any sleep.
No. So I'm really, really, really chuffed for that, to be honest with you. Really chuffed for that. That'll be splendid. So that'll be Thursday. We're off, so that'll be cool.
I think you should get some nice video of that.
Yeah, I intend to.
Some sun... dad bonding time.
I do intend to. I think, you know, it'll be I'll probably publish it, but it'll you know, it's something for me
nice
to enjoy
bits.
Quite literally travels with my father.
You know, it's gonna be like Jack Whitehall.
I'll have to borrow the apply for a borrow for a week or something on the title. But yeah,
how is he with the GoPro? Has he got skills?
No, he's got a Nokia 3210 Max.
Has he?
And cash is king. Do you know what I mean? He's still in Essex. Cash is king over there.
He's gonna get you out of trouble, isn't he? Because he's gonna have the same battery throughout the whole week. He's not gonna have to charge his phone.
It's
like having a satellite phone with you.
That'll be fantastic. So yeah, really looking forward to sharing that with him and everybody else that's going along. And people from Porsche Club Norway. Try and think if we've got any other news, any other newsy bits.
Any other news? I don't think I've got any news.
Yeah, just a little bit of news, actually. So our good friends at Heritage Parts Centre, they do their monthly Heretics meet in the summer, which is a melting pot of all things Porsche and VW.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the team are taking the concept on the road. So as well as doing some bits and pieces at their HQ down at Shoreham, they're also going to be on Friday the 21st of July at the Motorist in Leeds. They are going to be on Saturday, the 19th of August, at the Classic Motor Hub in Cirencester, which I love Classic Motor Hub.
Yeah, brilliant.
I think the others have happened so far. So, yes, if down in Shoreham is too far away for you to visit Heritage HQ, they're going to be coming to you if you're up north and in the West Country.
I wonder if they fancy coming to Donners and Ducktales on the 22nd. Set up their wagon in Marketplace and Tame.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. We're going to do something on Thursday the 7th of September, and obviously I mentioned this at the time. Thursday the 7th of September is Heretics at the Heritage HQ in Shoreham, and we're going to team up with them to do a bit of a Nine Works and Heritage, Porsche and VW. Hopefully a little bit more Porsche stuff in there. But yeah, it's always cool. I mean, yeah, it all comes from the same shop, doesn't it? It all comes from the same stuff with VW and Porsche, so that'll be a nice crossover.
Porsche by the Lake?
Yes.
Is that what it's called? Porsche
17th of June.
That's coming up quite quickly, actually, isn't it?
Yes.
So we can be fully involved in that, apparently.
Yeah, we've got an awesome lighting rig. The guys wanted to get a stage. So our role, and I might as well kind of fill you in on the JD gents while we're all around the table. We've not actually discussed it. But yeah, James and Guy have kindly asked us to be involved, and we're very, very happy to do so. So the plan was to have like a car stage and for us to pull up some cool cars from throughout the day.
Yeah.
And
sort of speak to the owners.
You know, have a chat and get to know their car story, because in the same way of this podcast, everybody's got stories to tell. So we're going to do that. Couldn't get a car stage, but there's an amazing lighting rig that the cars are going to go under. It's going to look like stars in their eyes, I reckon.
Better get polishing, boys.
Yeah, that's it. So we'll be...
highlight your swirls like you wouldn't believe.
And look, as typical Nine Works, as we say, it's inclusive, not exclusive, this Porsche world. So we want to be pulling up all sorts of cars from a variety of different stories,
Probably on the morning we're going to do a scout and see.
I think
see
so, yeah. And I'd just say to people, you know, don't be shy. You know, don't worry about it. Please come and tell us your story, because we'd love to share it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that'll be cool. So that's the 17th of June. Tickets are sold out. However, Guy has said there might be some available either nearer the time or on the day. What I would probably do is not travel on spec, but contact Guy on Instagram. It's at AskGeez, AskGeez. And James Vellacott is 911 Spy. Drop them a DM and just see how the land lies. Yeah. I think it's fair.
The tickets are only for cars that are in the sort of show area. There's additional parking where you can just rock up anyway.
Okay.
And come in as a viewer.
Okay.
Yeah. Rather passenger. Than
a, yeah. A foot passenger. Yeah.
A foot passenger.
Good.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. Rather cool, than a, somebody in with a car.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, so 17th of June.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good event. Really good.
All right.
Max.
I think that's it. Yeah, have you got a market?
Yeah, I've got a gem of the week.
Excellent.
I've got an anti-spec regret gem of the week. Let me explain. It's an RPM, and it is a 991.2 C2S. Nice car. Jet black metallic. Silver wheels, black with Bordeaux leather.
Okay.
Sports seats, sports exhaust, chrono, heated seats, rear view mirror, Porsche torque vectoring, PDLS plus, PTV.
Jesus.
Rear axle steering, PDC. There's not a lot you can regret. You might end up having stuff that you don't use, but you're not going to regret anything on that car. And being black with silver wheels looks bloody fantastic.
Yeah, that's your spec, isn't it?
It's a proper me spec.
Yeah.
That really good looking car. 2016.
Okay.
So that's Gen 2, but it's pre-OPFs.
Yes.
So it'll sound sensational.
Yep.
26,000 miles. Yeah. 26,000 miles, and they are selling that for 73,000 of your English pounds.
26,000 miles. Oof, ready to be enjoyed without a doubt.
Is a motor.
Yeah, yeah. Nice to have a jet black car or a black hued car as gem of the week.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, we always like to go for like vibrant stuff, you know, it seems to catch the eye a bit more generally. But yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Good.
On the spec check kind of things, and I know everybody's seen it, but I just bloody love Yachting Blue Metallic.
Oh, well,
RPM have got a Yachting Blue Metallic 992 GT3. Not a bloody touring either. It's got the proper wing on it.
Yeah.
It has got the sort of satiny finished wheels rather than silver. Wouldn't be my choice, but yacht blue metallic. I just love that. Yeah, I know everybody's seen it. It's been all over the gram, but check it out anyway. It looks great.
Nice. Love it.
Have we got any spread the loves this week? Have you got any? I've got one. If we, you know, it's been a full week anyway, so don't feel you have to come up with it if you don't want to.
Yeah, no, I've got one. Yeah,
you got one.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, I've got one.
Cool. Well, we're all in. We're all in. Mine this week is two. Now I'm going to need Max to help me with this. This is the guys, the steering wheel guys, Belafonte. Yes. You've mentioned them before, I think.
Have I?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Belafonte.
Martin is the guy that runs Belafonte, and they helped me with my steering wheel for the SC. So I've been struggling with, you know, what should I get, because I'm not a lover of the standard steering wheel, unlike your good self, Lee. I know you love them, but I unfortunately don't. Yeah, I was given a steering wheel by Giles from Wales, which is a lovely vintage Nardi, and Martin helped me find out what the steering wheel is, and then sort me out a Boss and a horn push. But what I would say is Martin's customer service is second to none. Absolutely amazing service, the information and how he helped me. I just want to say thank you so much, and spread the love for Belafonte.
Spot on. Absolutely spot on. Yeah, very good. Belafonte. I love
that. Amazing.
I don't know why you were looking at me when you said that. So, Belafonte.
Yeah, I love the way you say it, though.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only replicating what you two are saying.
I love it. I love it. I really want people to come up to you this summer and go, what wheel is that in there again?
It's a Nardi, mate. It's a Nardi.
Nardi, isn't it?
Nardi.
Yeah, very cool.
Right then.
Well, I would like to spread some love for somebody I don't know. Don't know who they are, I don't know their name.
Ooh.
However, so it's been a busy week for me. I've been up at Jonathan Franklin driving a lovely triple black 993 C2 pre-Vario Ram, by the way, which I think I prefer that over a Vario Ram.
Yeah, it's all about the gearing.
It's just, well, yeah, I think I'll talk about it more in the video. Yeah, it's going to be a video on it soon. But the day before that, I was at Paragon. And again, so Toby Dyer, what a legend, the legendary Toby Dyer, who we saw at Mid Engine and Mates today, he very kindly took a day off work to donate his car to allow us to do a 996.2 GT3 v 997.1 GT3 test, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast. I'm extremely grateful to Toby of that, of course. However, the 997.1 GT3 has been sold. It's still in the showroom at Paragon, and it's about to go through their prep.
Yeah.
But somebody has purchased that car, and the guys at Paragon said, this guy just wants to do a video on it for YouTube for a comparison before you know, are you okay with it? And some kind soul out there has basically allowed me to drive their brand new car before they have picked it up. Yeah. And that blows my mind, like the kindness and generosity of that. There's almost more to lose than gain in that scenario. And without the kindness of people like that, and Toby and plenty of others that have helped us in the past, I can't do my job.
Yeah,
basically. So I want to say a massive, massive thank you for that. It was absolutely looked after. It will now go through the exhaustive Paragon prep process that we've spoken about before. So it will be mint, I'm sure, but just very grateful. Very grateful to, thanks to a stranger.
Yeah, very good.
Max?
My spread the love is for something called TT Plus. So last week in May, first week in June, every year, Isle of Man TT races.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have heard of that. Some people feel very strongly about it in both directions. I love it and always have. It hasn't always been easy to consume the Isle of Man TT races in any detail, but last year they started this thing called TT Plus, where you paid, I think it's $19.99 this year, and you get access through your computer to all the practice, all the racing.
Yeah.
And you know, the Isle of Man TT races, if you've never seen it, is an incredible
nuts
motorsport event, very historic, and the TT Plus coverage is really amazing, and I absorb it every year and absolutely love it.
It makes my nuts pull up to my throat every time I watch it. Do you know what I mean? It is like, oh my god, what are you guys doing? It's like when you see these videos on YouTube of people that go and climb skyscrapers and cranes. Again, my balls are up near my throat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, can't do that.
And I just can't believe that these guys go round the TT at that speed.
It's it is incredible.
Yeah.
It is and as John McGuinness, King of the Mountain, has been for a long time, always says, he appreciates that from the outside to the viewer, they look mental.
Yeah.
People who are doing it, they look like, you know, they're off the hinge. He said, but when you're on the bike, when you're doing it, it's in control because it's what you do.
Yeah.
You're very skillful and it feels, you know, it feels good. He said, but yeah, from the outside, which is what makes it such a great spectacle. He said it looks nuts. So yeah, I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'll be paying my $19.99 for my TT Plus pass and I'll be watching that for the whole 2 weeks.
Nice. I like the spread the love. Lovely.
Yeah, very cool. Cool. Very, very cool. Awesome.
Good.
That's a cool episode. We've deviated a tiny bit away from fact and gone slightly more towards opinion this episode. I hope that's been okay for everyone. I hope no one's been offended, as I said, and we'll get back to some more factually accurate podcasts as of next week.
Behind me, that's a bit of pressure.
Yeah. It's the first time for everything. So,
I'd also like to put a little apology in for any background noise. We've had quite a lot of birds going on around here and a bit of squeaking chair.
So,
if there's any of that in the background, this episode, we're out in Lee's garden, sucking in the May sun.
At one with
this is
nature.
A summery al fresco pod recording.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Enjoy with a beer.
Cracking. Well, yeah, look, thanks as always for listening to Nineworks Radio. We always appreciate your support and your 5-star reviews. Please keep them coming.
Yes, please do. Yes. I'll read out the 5-star reviews next week, hopefully.
And we'll see you soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Good. Bye.
This episode was brought to you by our very kind Driven Not Hidden collective. If you would like to join the collective to get further access and rewards within the Nineworks community, you can do so at patreon.com/Nineworks. You can also support us by leaving a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app.